This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. Follow some of the interesting links, usually associated with or somewhat compatible with the ideas of the guest for that day. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Remember, I do not access my regular email during the program. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone line at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Vicki Thorne. She is the founder of Project Rachel, and she did that back in 1984, and it is a post-abortion ministry of the Catholic Church, the first formally organized outreach. She is the author of a book on Project Rachel. The websites are hopeafterabortion.com and also the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, which she founded in 1990, and that website is NOPARH.org. Again, that's NOPARH.org. Vicki, welcome to the program.
Why, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We had some surprises when you were on the program the last time, the first time and the last time. And I had some very interesting emails that I was shocked at, absolutely positively
really?
Shocked at. One of the emails
what
that I was...
What were they about? Yeah, tell me.
One of them referred to the mother of a baby, who a pregnant woman, as the host for a baby. And I'm thinking, my word, that's putting a baby into kind of a parasitical situation. How awful!
That's the surrogacy mindset, though.
Unbelievable.
You know, if I'm going to carry a baby for someone else, I have to step back emotionally, and I think that's part of what you see there. That is shocking, though. That's just amazing.
Right. It was amazing. Well, we also had some interesting phone calls and other emails that were kind of shocking. And so, anyway, I'm glad that you're back, and we're going to have some interesting conversation today. And you've covered so many different things, and such as the pill, which I think a lot of women thought, oh, what a wonderful thing! We can just take this pill and don't have to worry about getting pregnant, and they never think of the consequences that medication, life-altering medication, might have on a person. They just thought, well, what a convenient thing here.
Well, and we're sort of told, you know, well, it just affects this little piece. But the reality is, because it's a steroidal hormone, it's a systemic medication. And it touches all sorts of things that nobody warned us about, even in terms of changes that go on in our bodies. And I find that women are just amazed when they find out what all is going on there.
Right, and it's usually after the fact that they find out that there are so many negatives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And the doctors don't even know necessarily to tell them. I mean, even after the fact that there's a complication. You know, our doctors have not been as well informed on this as they could have been. And that's
shame. Absolutely. Absolutely. All righty, we are going to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Vicki Thorne. Stay tuned.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to santabarbarabells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero debt guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256 or go to zerodebtguaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
And she is the founder of Project Rachel, and that website is hopeafterabortion.com. And she's also the founder of the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, which she founded in 1990. And that website is NOPARH.org. And we were talking just before we went to the break about the pill and the fact that doctors really aren't well trained in pharmaceutical drugs, including the pill and obviously many other pharmaceutical drugs that have some devastating effects on people's health. Vicki, are you there? Did we lose Vicki? Oh, Vicki, are you there? Maybe she went to get a drink or something. We are going to be talking today about several things, including the pill, abortion, divorce, commercial daycare, the media, the internet, reproductive technology, whatever that is. And I hope that she is back with us. I don't know what happened to her, but as I was talking to her, it was very interesting, some of the remarks that I got, and I had not realized that there was such a group of people who were against pregnancy, who totally, wholly accept abortion as a regular practice. And I think it's because it has been with us for such a very long time, since 1973, that many people have grown up thinking that that is perfectly okay, not realizing that just because something is legalized by a group of men in black robes, somehow that makes the behavior okay. Legalizing something like that, where you are actually talking about taking the life of another person, whether they are in utero or not, is a very big decision. And many of our politicians thereafter said, oh, we've got to repeal this, we've got to get rid of this. And when you look at how long it has been a fact with us here in America since 1973, that's a very, very long time. And I don't think they're ever going to repeal it. I don't think that, I think in fact that many of the politicians who continue to use abortion and to politicize it, really don't even believe that it's ever going to happen, and I don't believe that it's ever going to happen either. Once you let the horse out of the barn, so to speak, it's very, very difficult to put it back in. And when given the number of abortions that have been conducted in America since that time, I think we're up to about 57 million, I hardly think that they are ever going to repeal it, that the court is ever going to backtrack. And the court was very deliberate in its decision to do this. And when you look at the composition of the 1973 court, you'll recognize that about seven of those judges were appointed by Republicans. And I think that if you look at that, you think, oh, gosh, I thought this was sort of a left-wing kind of a decision, when in fact it wasn't. So anyway, do we have Vicki back with us? Manny, is Vicki gone, or what happened? Vicki, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear you, but apparently you couldn't hear me.
No, I didn't. I just kept yapping away. I didn't hear you at all. So
no,
anyway.
I've been here, so I didn't go anywhere. So here we are. We're back.
Okay. Good.
Set everything up. We're good to go.
Okay, good. So anyway, the pill. I don't remember when the pill was discovered or when it was introduced, but I have a feeling it was probably in the 60s or
yeah. So. Yeah, early 1960s here. Also in Europe, they were fiddling with it a little before that, but 1960 is kind of our marker point in terms of it being introduced. And, you know, one of the things that we don't think about also is sort of the sociological changes that came with it. You know, suddenly, we were talking about this, you know, I can be sexually active without consequence, but it changed a number of things in terms of our attitudes, in terms of our relationships. You know, one of the things about the pill is that it lowers our libido, and it may lower it permanently. Well, how ironic that this medicine that's supposed to set me free may now, in fact, have sort of an opposite consequence. You know, it causes us to choose the wrong partner. But beyond those things, you know, there's a mindset change, and children now became objects. And so I'm entitled to my, you know, two children, and I want my son and I want my daughter, and my son should be, you know, the football player sort of son, and the daughter should be the ballerina sort of daughter. And what happens if I get the daughter who's the soccer player and the son who's the musician? There's this enormous cognitive dissonance in parents, okay? We expect that it's going to go our way. You know, what happens now when I have that third child who sneaks through my contraceptives? And we have a number of people out there who are the oops kids. And you hear parents describe them that way. You know, that's Sam and Mary and that's John. He's our little oops. And John hears this. And it creates an existential question in him that's very serious and moves to the depth of who he is, and that is, I'm a mistake. And, you know, we can help people to understand that, you know, if we believe in a higher power, if we believe in God, that God wanted John here and didn't respect his parents' wishes. But you run into so many of these people, when I talk about this being an oops, they identify with it immediately. I'm the family oops, or my sister is the family oops. And this is just sort of one of those, again, under-the-wire sort of consequences of this. It changed everything. Children were no longer a gift. Children were something I was entitled to, the type of child I wanted. And, you know, we also see it impacting in terms of, you know, the whole search and destroy mission, if you will, in terms of children that have anomalies. You know, these children can be an incredible gift to a family, But we have a mindset, again, of perfection, and so we're supposed to pursue that, which means there may be children who are being aborted. And sometimes, you know, I've heard the stories from people who got the bad diagnosis. This is terrible. This child will be born with, you know, this terrible anomaly. And the child's born, and there's nothing wrong with the child.
You know, oh, yes. I know people who had abortions because they, I think one of them got the measles or was around somebody that had the measles or something. And they just decided that they were going to abort this baby. And I'm thinking, my God. Goodness, that, I mean, you don't even know for certain. Why would you do that?
Yeah, but again, it's this child is as possession. You know, if I don't like my car, I can trade it in.
Right.
You know, if I don't like the child I think I'm going to get without ever knowing, you know, it's okay to say no thank you. And then the consequences of that in terms of the pain that comes later to the parents. I mean, I remember being up in Canada, and it was not long after I started Project Rachel, and there was a woman up there who shared the pain of her abortion loss, and she had an abortion because she was told she was going to have a Down syndrome child, and she'd never met one, she'd never seen one, and so she listened to the consultation of the physician, and she was blown out of the water because not too long after she had the abortion, she met a Downs adult. And then with the Downs adult was a Downs child. And she said, I could have raised that child. And so there was this shock there of recognition that she didn't have all the information she needed.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Well, and Downs children are very special, I think. I have known some. I've known families who have raised children that had Down syndrome. They're very loving, very kind. They have no guile. They're just totally innocent people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, you know, we've also lost sight as a culture, I think, of the places we sometimes find gifts that are unexpected. Okay, we had friends who had a Down syndrome son. He was a twin. And Anthony died rather early of an onset of a serious disease that sort of came out of nowhere. But, you know, in our community, the school our kids went to, the church that we attend, Anthony was everybody's favorite little boy. I mean, we'd have a gathering, and Anthony was off playing with everybody. And just that joy that came with that. And, you know, again, this is counterintuitive to our society, which, you know, looks at people in terms of monetary expense. You know, oh, maybe they need surgery or something. It's this really, again, the mindset of perfection. And, you know, that plays off into euthanasia and other issues as well. But it's really interesting to see that we don't recognize gift. And the parents who have raised children, oftentimes, maybe not everybody, but the ones I've met, talk about what a gift this child was, what this child taught them as a family system. We had friends who had a son born of Cornelia de Lange syndrome, which is a very serious anomaly. He had heart issues. Language comes late. Sometimes they get language, okay. He had hearing problems. But, you know, Andy changed the lives of his family. His parents said to me, you know, without Andy, we would have been very selfish people. Andy taught us to appreciate the little things in life. And Andy changed my kids because he was, you know, a contemporary with them, and they saw the little triumphs that were there. You know, Andy could get to your refrigerator and find something to drink faster than you knew he was in your house. He could take his shoes off faster than you could even know you'd put them just on, and they were gone. One day, it was an amazing thing. Well, I discovered he had some hearing one day, which we didn't know. We thought he was absolutely deaf. And
amazing.
I was watching him and said, you know, he was fooling around.
Vicki, I'm sorry. Yep. We do have to go to a quick 3-minute break.
All right.
We'll pick this up on the other side.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. GeofflawTon.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet, only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Vicki Thorne. She is founder of Project Rachel. That website is hopeafterabortion.com and the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, which she founded in 1990. And that website is NOPARH.org. And you were talking about this little child who you mentioned did have some, he could hear. And people didn't realize that he could.
Well, you know, it's again, it goes with this particular anomaly. And he was fooling around one day when I was watching him, and just out of a mother experience, you know, I said, "Andrew John, turn around and eat your breakfast." And he did. And so I was able to tell his parents that he had some hearing. So he was able to get a hearing aid. All right. The other thing that his mom and I discovered one day. He was walking, like, right in front of us. We were going to her house, which was around the corner from my house. We discovered that he knew his way home. And we had no idea that he knew this. You know, he made all the, I mean, he was within hand's reach of us, but he made all the appropriate turns and walked up his front step. And those moments of just being incredulous that this child who's supposed to not function on any kind of level here had amazing abilities that were hidden, okay? And again, teaching other people about what it means, you know, to live with someone who's otherly abled, is an amazing thing. In our society, it's very much downplayed. You know, there are countries, I think it's Belgium, but I'm not sure, that has said they are simply not going to have any more Downs people by, I think they said 2030. Well, you know how that's not going to happen. I mean, they will simply be on a real search and destroy mission. In terms of having abortions. And so, you know, those are some really sad pieces of the whole picture that's there. Again, you know, that's fallout from the pill, because suddenly I could control the number of children I had. And children, as I said, then became possessions rather than gifts. And I'm not so naive as to say, oh, everything was hunky-dory in the past, but I do know that families made room for children as they came. And children had economic advantages as well in terms of if we were farmers or we ran a small business or whatever. There was that possibility of discovering who am I and who am I called to be. Now there's enormous expectations placed on children in terms of parental expectations. Now, you will be a doctor. You know, you're going to go to Harvard. Well, what if I don't want to be a doctor? You know, how do I find the courage to speak that truth? Because it's very difficult. And I do a lot of speaking to young adults, and I hear this from them. You know, I couldn't say to my parents I didn't want to do that, but I don't enjoy what I'm doing. I don't think this is where I'm supposed to be. And so that's one of those hard pieces that's there.
Right. And I think some parents do have that feeling. Probably mm-hmm. a lot of parents have that feeling that since they gave this child life, and they're thinking that they did this, that they gave this child life, that somehow they should control all the decisions and all of the things that the child does, whether it's I think that children should be afforded the opportunity of taking piano lessons, of developing their other skills and propensities and things like that. But I think that they should have a choice in what they want to do. And of course, when your kid is 6 or 7, they don't know that they might want to play the piano. So you give them the opportunities to figure it out. And, some of my kids liked taking piano lessons and some of them didn't. So.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah. But you know, I ended up with a couple people, somebody who played the flute, somebody who played the saxophone, and a couple people who probably have never touched a piano since they quit taking lessons.
And that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's a quotation I have here from a book that was written some years ago called Lying in, A History of Childbirth in America. It said, children are expected to provide a return for all the care, attention, and money lavished on them. They also expect their children, meaning the parents, to live lives that reflect their parents' endeavors to provide a superior upbringing. Children have become extensions of the parents' selves, demonstrations of the parents' genetic potential, economic expenditures, emotional self-sacrifice, and childbearing ability. And I think that's very accurate, sad, but accurate.
Right. Right. Heaven help that child if they disappoint me after all I've given to them, right?
Oh, yeah. See, that's it. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, and, you know, you run into the young people who become sexually active also because they were on the pill for some health, you know, reason. And, you know, the parents say to them, don't you ever come home pregnant, you know. I had this very sad experience of some friends of ours had a son who died of an accidental drug overdose, and his girlfriend came from a very wealthy family, very well-to-do, and she had been struggling with drugs for a number of years. And I went to the funeral, and I discovered that I knew the mother of the girl through sort of an acquaintance experience. And she took me aside, and she said, Vicki, I have to tell you something. You know, I always thought the worst thing in the world that could ever happen to one of my daughters was for them to be pregnant. Now I know that's not the worst thing, because she was watching her daughter grieve for her boyfriend. And, you know, again, that mindset of who's here and who's not and all that kind of thing is a lot of issues there.
Right. Now, you mentioned that some teenage girls are put on the pill regulate their monthly or some other reason?
Oh, yeah. Oh, acne. Oh, cramps. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons.
Really?
And, you know, again, oh, absolutely, absolutely. I run into these girls on campuses all the time, but I also know it was there in terms of even my own daughters being offered, you know, contraceptives by our pediatrician at one point. Because, you know, it'll take care of this problem or that problem. But again,
We do have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com. There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Vicki Thorne. She is the founder of Project Rachel. That website is hopeafterabortion.com. And she also founded in 1990 the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing. And that website is NOPARH.org. And we were talking about children, young adults, being put on the pill for other reasons, such as complexion issues and I don't know what else. But that is kind of like giving them a green light to exploit their situation and maybe do things that they wouldn't have chosen to do otherwise.
Exactly. And you know, they're confused in terms of what's really going on. You know, to regulate our cycle is one thing, but we have to recognize that the periods we get on the pill are not really a regular period. And that when, you know, our daughters can be at risk here and parents are not told that one of the things they ought to be asking their physician for is to this girl to be screened for the clotting factor. Because some people are predisposed to blood clots in terms of these kinds of chemical contraceptives. And doctors oftentimes, well, most of them, don't ever test for that. And, you know, there's someone I know who died very tragically almost 3 years ago now on a college campus, collapsed, was filled with blood clots. The hospital did their best to save her. She was awake the whole time, cognizant, and her parents had to tell her they were going to allow her to die because it was not possible to get all the blood clots out of her system. Now, she had been on the pill simply for health reasons, okay? But if it's me, it's 100%. And as women, we need to be able to make informed decisions about our health care. And as parents, we need to make informed decisions about our children's health care as well. You know, the risk that my child is going to be attracted, excuse me, to the wrong kind of guy. Nobody tells parents that. You know, that there is a risk factor because I'm going to get involved in sexual activity, perhaps. And that if I'm on the pill, I'm more likely to contract certain kinds of STDs. We parents aren't told that. I'm the mother of four daughters. Never did I hear that. Okay? So it's just about us being informed so that we make good decisions both for ourselves and for our kids.
So if you are on the pill, you can be vulnerable to certain infections as a result.
Yeah, you're more vulnerable. Yeah. What it does is it changes the way that the cervical mucus works, and there are different types of cervical mucus that do different things. But we lose some of the natural protection there. And, you know, again, this is a real complex system that we're touching upon and meddling with, and we're not told. Okay, we're not told.
Yes,
there's a really interesting book by she's actually a psychiatrist by training, by the name of Susan Racko, R-A-K-O, called No More Periods, The Risk of Menstrual Suppression and Other Cutting-Edge Issues About Hormones in Women's Health. And she talks about this change in terms of our vulnerability to certain sexually transmitted diseases. And, you know, if I'm on the pill, I am probably not using condoms. And even if I am, there are certain types of STDs that simply are skin-to-skin contact. So whether there is a barrier there or not might not make any difference. But there's enormous issues going on here.
Indeed. And now I think that there are pills that you can take once a month or, you know. So I'm on this.
Or shots. I mean, the shot is one of these. That's a three-month shot. It's called Depo-Provera. And the issue with that is this. One of the things it does, one, it makes you more vulnerable to breast cancer potentially, but the second thing is that it demineralizes your bones by 7% a year. We put young women on this, and the researchers are saying, oh dear, we might have an epidemic of osteoporosis in women younger than ever before because of this. Again, we're not told. You know, we are really walking in this dark place. And we need to be informed and to find this information so that we're making good decisions.
Indeed. And we do seem to have a lot of osteoporosis, and of course we do have a lot of breast cancer, now more so than we ever did before. Well, of course, before they started doing mammograms in 1983. But, I think that your body functions. Your body has certain things that it does, certain functions that it goes through in order to keep you healthy, in order for your body to function the way that it should. And if you just all of a sudden stop a certain function for convenience, I mean, my word, it's like when you have something taken out, like your gallbladder or tonsils or something, you have to think, if I can get along with that, without a gallbladder, why did I get one to begin with?
That's the sort of question. You know, those are such important pieces. You know, there is an abortion and breast cancer connection as well. We don't want to talk about it. Everybody, you know, some people poo-poo it and say, oh, no, it's really not there, but it is a predisposing factor. And it has to do with an abortion in the first pregnancy, okay, because our breasts go through all these changes from never pregnant to the end of pregnancy, which is actually weaning. It's not birth, but weaning completes this. And again, as women, we need to know this, because if we've had abortions, we should be getting regular mammograms and screening done, because there is a predisposition. And you don't know what else in terms of the carcinogenic stuff that's in the environment may trigger this in someone.
Sure. Well, okay, you mentioned that you wanted to also talk about commercial daycare. I mean, there's several things that we can talk about, and some of the things that you've talked about previously and that I've listened to on other programs about the the prevalence of sex in grade school, which is an amazing concept to me. My goodness, I can't imagine as a child. Well,
but see that, but it's, you know, this goes hand in hand also with the media, and the media has desensitized us to having certain boundaries here about sexual intimacy. And these kids stumble into things in terms of music videos, you know, television, movies, and needless to say, the internet. And so they're not conscious of the sorts of things that can be going on here. Now, one of the things that's very scary is that there is an epidemic of throat and mouth cancer caused by oral sex. All right? People can go online and find this. Why? Because human papillomavirus is an equal opportunity infector. It infects wherever it is. Doesn't matter. And so if I'm a kid and I'm experimenting with oral sex, I might have this, I might have picked this up. This might be a serious issue. We know that on some college campuses there are epidemics, for instance, of gonorrhea of the throat. What's that about? Okay, it's the same thing. So all these pieces that fit in there, the message that our kids have gotten, is that sex is without consequence, it's enjoyable, it's pleasurable, and not to worry. You know, if you have a group of people who are 25 years old and have all been sexually active, half of them will have a sexually transmitted disease by 25.
Oh, and, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Half of them, you know, some of these aren't treatable because they're viral, and so you carry them. Okay, and again, you know, we have to get the word out there in terms of education, in terms of these sorts of things. You know, Dr. Miriam Grossman has really worked hard in terms of trying to get this out there, talking, you know, you're teaching my child what, and a couple of other things that she's done. She's got a booklet for campus, okay, for girls on campus that just simply lays out what the risk factors are. But, you know, our kids are at risk, and as parents, we don't even think about that, you know. My seventh grader would be having oral sex. My eighth grader might be having sex. It's not within our comprehension so that we can even take it on and talk to them about it or make sure when they're going to the doctor that they get checked for these things.
Oh, my goodness. This is just shocking to me. When I was growing up, the consequence of getting pregnant was something that we always thought about. And, yep. I mean, none of the people that I was running around with would even dream of having sex.
No, me either. I mean, it was not part of the life experience. Now, I grew up in a small town in Minnesota, but even when I went to the University of Minnesota, that was not part of our social engagement. You know, people dated, people had friendships. Oh, you know, sometimes people got pregnant, but it wasn't that was the expectation. You know, that's the first contact, and then maybe we like each other. You know, I've been reading a couple of books recently on some of the social media in terms of the dating, you know, the match sites. And I'm appalled at what's out there in terms of, you know, I'm specifically looking to go to bed with someone, and I'm wondering if my preferential type of sexual interest, if matches yours. What is that about? I mean, we're not gonna get a marriage out of that. Guys, 70-some% of men say they'll never marry a woman who goes to bed with them the first time they go out. And yet this runs counter to that in terms of this mindset of expectation that sex is sort of our first social contact, and then from that other things come. It's devastating. It's devastating. You know, it changes our bodies. You know, for us women, when we're exposed to the sperm of our partner, it takes 6 months for my body to say, ah, that's my partner. This is an immune system adaptation. If I've had multiple partners, we keep triggering the immune system, and we do not know what the long-term consequences of that are because the body doesn't finish what it's supposed to do.
Right. And for college girls or high school girls who are just actively engaged in having sex with everybody that they go out with, I mean, this has some emotional consequences and immune system consequences that they're not even aware of. They just think that they're enjoying themselves. Mm-hmm. And since when are we supposed to be beings that just are thinking about pleasure without consequences.
Without consequence, exactly. And see, the other piece of this is, now if I'm on the pill, it's not likely that I'm using a condom, all right? We women absorb the seminal fluid of our partner for 15 hours after sexual contact. Now, that changes everything because I am absorbing all the chemistry that's in there. It's one of the richest fluids in the human body. There's more than 30 compounds in there and a ton of hormones that aren't part of that 30. We absorb all of that. So I'm being changed in some way by every one of those partners. And, again, we don't know the long-term consequences of that, but there has to be some. We're not meant to do that.
And I think also, I feel like women particularly should feel used and exploited, and that's bound to affect their self-esteem.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've brainwashed them, though. We've brainwashed them that we're supposed to be as a man in terms of able to enjoy sexual pleasure, that sort of thing. I mean, there's some very interesting research out there, and the scientists do not know what to make of this, all right? And it is that women on the pill, if you do brain scans, their brain is now beginning to grow more as you'd identify it as a male brain. Well, what does that do in terms of even my ability to bond? They don't know. I mean, this is just, it's a discovery, and they're scratching their heads. But, you know, we've lost this complementarity, this give and take, this growth as a couple together. Nobody talks about it much in our society anymore. And again, these young people have really been buried in this kind of brainwashing that's there in the media and in the internet.
Right. Somebody just posted in the chat room that, according to ABC News, that there is now in Chicago a sex education for kindergartners.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, man. I heard somebody talking about it. I didn't know that it was online, but I had heard someone else talking about moving it younger yet. But what do I make out of that, okay? Do I lose my modesty in that? If it's to appreciate how my body works, okay, that, and we women, we don't appreciate, we haven't been taught really the awesomeness of how our body works. Guys haven't been taught the awesomeness either. They're taught the sexual stuff they need to know. You know, here's the banana and the condom sort of thing.
Right.
But if we were teaching them the awesomeness of how I develop, but in kindergarten, I'm not developing for a number of years yet. You know, where is innocence? Where am I able to simply be a child without having that taken away from me?
Right. And I believe you mentioned the media. And once in a while, I will watch a made-for-TV movie. And I'm appalled, just appalled that they introduce sex. Just about every movie has sex in it. And I'm thinking, my gosh, these people just met and they're going to bed?
Yeah. I mean, but that's this mindset. As I said, these couple of books I've been reading on the online dating sorts of things have been not a pleasant education, but an education. They're very eye-opening. It's really frightening. You know, again, we don't appreciate how complex this bonding is that happens. I cannot turn off the chemistry of my brain and my body when I engage in sexual intimacy. We are hardwired for that by Mother Nature. We think, because I say this has no meaning, that I am untouched by it, and that is not true. Even if I were using a condom so that I would not be absorbing necessarily the seminal fluid of my partner or the guy making, you know, that kind of contact, the reality is that my brain and my body are still kicking out all of this body chemistry, things like vasopressin for men, oxytocin for us women and men. These are all bonding chemicals. And that's what nature intended when we engage in that kind of intimacy.
Amazing. What kind of influence do you think that the women's movement had on our mentality now?
Well, I think, you know, those were some of the first women who also used chemical contraceptives. And this question about the changes in the brain, I simply raise that as a question mark. But see, it is this not appreciating who we are as women, but rather that I should be like a man in order to be a woman. I should be competitive instead of cooperative. There are some things there that are not, And I'm not saying, you know, barefoot and pregnant and not in the workplace. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that I do think that it sort of warped our perception. I think it could have been come at the first run of feminists before maybe I can say angry feminists, but the very in-your-face kind of group. They were all about appreciating who we were as women and appreciating our fertility, as well as speaking to equality in terms of voting and jobs and things like that. And so I do think that it did tip the society in many ways, and I think it also influenced men. I've met many young men who talk about having a very difficult time figuring out who they're supposed to be as men.
Exactly. We are going to take a real quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Vicki Thorne. She is the founder of Project Rachel in 1984. That website is hopeafterabortion.com. And in 1990, she founded the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing. And that website is N-O-P-A-R-H. And we were kind of talking about female emancipation, and which happened during the women's movement. And it changed so many things. And it changed... I think that that there were some women, obviously, who probably weren't happily married. But then you have this big movement that got so much media attention, and actually was funded in part by the CIA. You had all of this media attention at this group, directed at this group, and then people probably began to think, women probably may have begun to think, well, gosh, I'm not really happy. Maybe I should be out getting a job and doing something really worthwhile with my life. And I remember when I was in college, in my psychology class, the teacher, a woman, was saying, well, you don't want to be just a housewife. You really want to do something for society. You want to be creative and do something productive in society, as if somehow being a mother and being a homemaker was non-productive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as more and more women went to work fuller time, okay, you know, that drew us also to this whole question of commercial daycare, because in the past, there were people who were at home, and mobility is part of this as well. You know, we moved from place to place and sort of lost our moorings in terms of our family system. But we used to have people who helped us. Women did work in the past, but we had grandma who lived with us, or perhaps we had aunts who lived nearby, older siblings. Well, as families got smaller, that disappeared in terms of older siblings who might help. And the mobility led us away from those other supportive people who would have provided a loving, connected, bonded caregiver. And, you know, the research on the fact that children from 0 to 3, and this is politically incorrect as you want to be, but they can only withstand 20 hours a week of outside-the-home commercial daycare before they move into a stress mode. And the problem is the stress mode even stays on the weekends when they're home. And that rewires the brain in ways that makes them much more sensitive to stressors in their lives. And, you know, there's just this fallout, the cascade on so many levels in terms of the impact of those sorts of decisions, you know. And, you know, even as parents, to recognize that if we're using commercial daycare, and I'm making a distinction here between the center where there are 4 babies to 1 woman and that's considered good care, versus the woman down the block who has a couple kids of her own and is watching a baby, or maybe it's a retired woman who's watching a child. That's more of a natural setting. Children have a capacity to fall in love with lots of people and to be well cared for in those settings. But when I'm in a commercial setting, there's a rollover in terms of people who are there. I lose the surrogate siblings who I'm with all the time. You know, I'm there, you know, 40 hours a week. These other children become significant to me, and they just disappear. And so I also am in a position of having many losses in terms of that kind of setting, and we don't think about that.
Exactly. All righty, we are taking our 60-second top-of-the-hour break. We will be right back with our guest today after station ID.